Welcome to episode 24 of the Needle Movement Podcast. Today, we'll talk with Just Uno about on-site messaging, how pop-ups and on-site displays can help with list growth and conversion rate optimization. And our special guest is Rob Hammett. Now, Just Uno has worked with thousands of e-commerce stores. So I was really happy to have a fluid conversation with Rob just to find out what really works for stores and what's working for all of Just Uno's clients that we can learn from. We discuss specific use cases and uncover simple takeaways that people, that brands can implement quickly. And I even discovered a couple just from Rob that I'm planning to use for a client in the near future. I'm Stephen Carl, talking to you straight from Brooklyn, New York. Let's get on to the show. Can't wait to intro our special guest today. We have Rob Hammett, the Director of Solutions for Just Uno, one of the leading platforms who helps brands with list growth and conversion optimization. And Just Uno, you've probably heard of them. They are already serving over 3,500 different web businesses. A couple of months ago on this podcast, we did four straight shows on email marketing in particular, mainly because sometimes its effectiveness wasn't really getting the coverage that it deserved. And I remember on episode 14, we put together a list growth playbook, and I kept name dropping Just Uno because it's an option that I've used for years. So I'm really glad today to have Rob on the show. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thanks for having me, Stephen. I'm excited to be here and talk shop with you.
It is excellent to have you. So I guess we're pretty settled now into our COVID-19 routine. Anything interesting happen this week for you?
A lot of like everything that I've ever needed to get done in the house is getting done. I put in my own car stereo, but on a work-related note, it's amazing to see how dynamic the e-commerce industry is in light of what is new for e-commerce, new for everyone alive today. I think we're getting a front row seat at the most interesting times in terms of business and specifically e-commerce.
Yeah, definitely. With e-commerce, I think the Shopify CEO said that with COVID, e-commerce has jumped from the year 2020 to the year 2030. And part of that is e-commerce is now growing as a percentage of overall retail. So I remember, I don't know the exact number, but I think it was around 15% for 2019. 15% of all retail sales were e-commerce. And now the numbers that are currently cropping up are between, on the low end, it's in the 20s, and it could even be as high as 30% of sales are going through e-commerce now. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of transformation quickly.
Great time. And I'd say their Shopify stock price has also jumped from 2020 to 2030.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us a little bit about what Just Uno is for people that have just heard the name and want to know a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to pull up my marketing approved synopsis here. Just Uno, so we consider ourselves, especially nowadays, to be a conversion rate optimization suite of tools. It's really designed to let marketing teams and non-technical people rapidly deploy and optimize any manner of website content. This could be, like you mentioned, opt-in pop-ups, banners, flyouts, even in-page, in-line elements, most commonly used by the brands that we work with to capture leads, whether that's email, SMS, or push notifications, show dynamic product recommendations, exit intent pop-ups, and really any other on-site messaging and promotions.
Gotcha. Yeah. So anytime you want on-site messaging, and you're building it on top of the platform, does come into play. I've just gotten really, really excited about list growth recently. It's always been an essential tool, but I think with Just Uno, we have the conversion optimization element and the list growth. So we'll cover list growth first and then hit some of the elements of conversion optimization as well. But with list growth, it's just the fact that I think with companies now, the whole thing about owned media and having a subscriber list that once you get that name, you can market it at your own cadence. It's not something you have to pay per click. And it definitely helps with the overall return on investment that all types of businesses get. So with List Growth, I was going to ask Rob, like, what are the top strategies that an e-commerce brand could use to promote List Growth through on-site messaging? Like, you've seen thousands of stores now do this, so I'm sure you have a cool perspective on that.
Yeah, totally. So, and I think about it, I'm so deep looking through a microscope with all these brands and agencies as well. So factors there, right? And that could be a top strategy or ways to promote List Growth is, what incentive are you giving to your users to opt in? When are you showing it? And how are you segmenting it based on the audience? So from a high level strategic view, I think the ability to show different offers, the ability to change when those offers are showing or what triggers them to maximize UX, as well as being able to segment those through different people, talking to the right people at the right time, right? I think that strikes a really good balance when you talk about people that are averse to pop-ups versus people that overuse them. A lot of times, major, huge legacy e-com brands abuse pop-ups because they just see the data. They don't see the experience.
Right.
And so I think strategically speaking, those three things help you kind of strike a really good balance and understand and respect your audience's experience and your customer journey.
Okay. So let's dive a little deeper into that, because I know it's pop-ups can be annoying. And that's, I think, the biggest thing, that there's an audience there. They're coming to your site for some reason. So how does segmentation, how can you fine tune that so that you're hitting the people that want to get the pop-up, not annoying people?
So on a very simple level, when we talk to people about segmentation, it's a lot of it comes down to paid traffic versus organic and direct traffic. With your goal for organic and direct traffic is to let them experience the site because they're organically or directly, therefore they have a higher intent. You can sort of maybe wait later in the experience. And I loop in triggering and targeting into segmentation because it all kind of rolls in together in Just Uno. But that segment of audience, they don't need to be like, if they're walking into your brick and mortar store, you approaching them right away with a clipboard and a coupon saying, give us your email. This person walked in intentionally, but you don't know what they're there for. You don't know. You need to gather behavioral data before you present them the right offer that actually relates to them, to what their journey is, that respects their experience and everything like that. And then on the other side, when you talk about paid traffic, I think a lot of times for the merchant is, hey, I'm spending, there's something like, it's like for every $92 spent on getting a visitor to the site, only $1 is spent converting them into a sale. And so a lot of times we work with merchants to increase ROAS with their paid traffic. So what does that mean? That means going back to the type of offer. We've seen that giveaways typically work better with paid traffic. These people are very low intent. They have a high bounce rate. And you're also probably have some retargeting plays going on with that audience too. So the best thing, yes, you can get from a paid new visitor is enter them into a contest where maybe they could win some gear for free or whatever the product is that you're selling, and hit them a little earlier in the experience because they're probably going to the bounce, if not in the first page, in the first few seconds, right? So that's what I talk on the basic level. We start with paid versus organic and direct.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so let's go with that. I'm wondering with like those pop-ups that come up, is there any insight on like, should I wait until the second page or should I wait until the visitor has scrolled down and exhibited some interest?
Yeah, so obviously you have to take your site into account. If you have like infinity scroll on your products and it's just your front page is just shop all, I don't think a lot of people's are like that. But if that is the case, then yeah, a scrolling trigger would be a good basis for understanding someone's intent. On a more kind of standard Shopify themes, BigCommerce themes, Magento themes, you might have a hero bar with a carousel and some top sellers and then reviews and then shop all CTAs. And we usually like to get people for, again, going back to if this is organic and direct traffic,
right?
All you need to wait 5 seconds to 10 seconds after they get to the second page load. So second page they're on, 5 to 10 seconds in, then we say, hey, you're shopping around a little bit. How would you like to opt in? And then based on, again, what information you want to collect, how you want to market to them, how you want to nurture them, whether that's through email or SMS, If they're on a mobile device, maybe you want to get them to opt into SMS, or if they're on desktop, email. There's so many tools available to e-commerce brands now. But yeah, some easy wins for this audience might be, let's show it to them on the second page load 5 seconds in when they're organic or direct. When they're paid, for instance, we'll usually wait. I wouldn't wait longer than 10 or 15 seconds for the paid segment, because that's sort of more of a numbers game, because every click costs you money.
Right. And you want to monetize it. If it's not a sale, you get, at least you get a list, a subscriber.
Yeah. And so you start to see, I'd say a 2 to 3% opt-in rate from that paid group is pretty good. I think it's pretty good. Then from the group of organic and direct, maybe you're seeing more like a 10% engagement rate because you waited later in the experience. You could call them qualified leads coming in. And so I believe in that experience, you start to average out to that. I think that's about 6% general opt-in rate. And that's pretty healthy. That's a pretty healthy overall opt-in rate. And you can do things to affect that. Like if you're a pretty millennial focused brand and you're running like, and you have a pretty low AOV, for example, you're probably pretty ripe to run like a spin to win lead capture promotion, which gets people usually north of 10% opt-in rates, usually north of that. And so you can do that. Whereas, you know, if you're selling, I always like to use the furniture versus sunglasses example. If you're selling furniture, you're probably not going to run a spin to win. Your AOV is way, way higher. Your sales cycle is longer. How do you nurture those people through the experience?
Okay. So yeah, spin to win. Yes. The roulette wheel that you can customize. And when you're talking about sunglasses, I know there's a brand near you, Rob, in San Diego called Blenders.
Oh yeah. There's a few of them. Yeah. Blenders, longtime client of ours. They're amazing. Mm.
And I think they just got acquired, right?
They did.
Okay. So they're very successful, but right. So spin to win is something that a lot of brands might think, ew, that's not really us, but it's worth a spin. It can be worth it because it's just an interactive way for people to get, and for certain brands, you could generate a lot of names. Does the quality go down with spin to win? Because it's more of a novelty in a way?
Yeah, you know, I think so. If you're only looking at top, like gross metrics, more top line metrics, looks really great. You know, as a pro tip, if I was to give a pro tip to a merchant that maybe got an extra 10 minutes and you're using just, you know, to kind of know for sure what works best for you, a standard opt-in with the same discount, then create a spin to win with the same discount, presuming you're running a discount, and A/B test those against each other. And not only A/B test, because you'll see, like, for example, if you do that within just, you know, you'll see this big pop in engagement rate on the spin to win, but we'll also show you AOV and engaged revenue or attributable revenue. But the number that I always, to brands that really like to dig into the data, need to understand the LTV of an email. If you can understand the lifetime value of an email contact, then you can understand if spin to wins are actually a detriment to your email marketing program, because there are things coming out that's like, yeah, I got all these emails. The top line metrics look really great. Like I'm getting 13 to 15% opt-in rate, but I'm also getting a lot of hard bounces. I'm getting a lot of unsubscribes, opting out, whatever it is. You're seeing some of these more negative metrics at the back end when you look at the bottom line metrics. So bottom line metrics, I think, are LTV really as it pertains to the Just Uno sort of email marketing partnership.
Right. So spin to win is just one example of a way that you could present, encourage someone to give their information. So that covers one. You talked about giveaways, and I think that's a good point of there's something of value you could offer in a giveaway in some sort of monthly raffle or whatever that can get people to sign up.
Yeah. And that's not presuming that someone's going to purchase from you. In fact, that's talking to this person who has very low intent. It's also, giveaways are also great for social media traffic. If you're working with an influencer and an influencer is getting a lot of people to click through the site, they're giving whatever the coupon code is or the promotion deal that's going on through the influencer. But there's also this idea that because I'm offering a giveaway, that is such a low barrier for you, the end user. All you have to do is give us your email and you could win this product that you at least had some interest in. And so I think giveaways typically net a higher opt-in rate with paid traffic. And so you could work with that as another way. And it also works with people that are averse to giving discounts. You know, that's a really good way to say, hey, we really care about list growth, but we don't offer discounts, especially to new traffic. So giveaway is a great thing. And it's so versatile. You might have some leftover inventory, some clearance inventory.
Yes.
You might have a $250 gift card that you'd be willing to give up, or you might have a bestseller that you're like only giving away once every couple of months. And so those are all, it's a very dynamic thing to offer.
And now is a time where I would guess there is a lot of inventory hanging around. So
yeah,
I've even heard stories of fashion retailers saying, you know, our collection this summer, we're just going to use it for next summer. And we're just going to switch the date from 2020 to 2021. So there's a giveaway. Gosh. Yeah.
I haven't heard that one yet, but that's people getting really creative these days with
exactly
how they keep their business going.
Yeah. I think with the creative too, like I've seen just that, like that witty as fuck sort of creative where it's like, it's really personal and it's just, it speaks to the personality of a brand and it exemplifies why you should be part of the club. You know, these are ones that don't have discounts.
Yeah. There's one example to exactly what you're saying, Shinesty.com. I'll just promote them right now because I had worked with them for years on the Just You Know platform. And those guys, they're not afraid to cuss in their email pop-ups. They're not afraid to show like lewd content. And it's amazing. It works so well for them. And if you're not already signed up to their emails, I highly recommend it. It's the most hilarious thing that you'll see in your inbox. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And this reminds me a lot of Chubbies as well, which people say the same thing about. So those are two good lists for ideas, but just, I think it just ties into people are making fun of with COVID, the advertising right now, where there's a COVID ad playbook where everyone just uses the same words for during these uncertain times now more than ever. So just having a creative that's very different and also more conversational, not safe. I think it's worth a test. I mean, with this stuff, you can always test it to a percentage of the audience and see what's going to get people over that hump.
Yeah.
To sign up.
I would say, yeah, like if there was a third element to kind of this list that we're building right now in this conversation, it's copy, you know, like how are you representing your brand and how are you standing out? It's not only true for ads. It's true for pop-ups and sort of new visitor lead capture, especially. And there's more of a way to capitalize on it because ads, you have some cheeky copy in there. You're getting people in the door. But if you can also do that with your pop-ups and you're using that as an element to speak to the people that actually came to your website, I think you stand to gain.
Right. I think your sign up, those pop-ups are definitely worth your time in the midst of things because there's a great impact when you find that message that is just going to lead to doubling your email signup rate. And so I was going to ask you about placement because thank God we've now gotten to a point where people just don't hit you over the head with the pop-up. There's a lot of options. You can put in the lower right corner. You can slide it in. There's a lot of different ways to display the same message. So are you seeing anything different now that there are more options available?
No, not really. I think we have the options available, right? And if it's like a content site, mm-hmm. we've done a lot of work with content sites as well and publishers.
Right.
And there's a lot of different implementations. Yet, if I was to say across the board, the biggest success still very much comes from a center screen pop-up. It's just about the right message at the right time to the right person. And the one size fits all approach for mm-hmm. your pop-ups is not going to work anymore, as we're kind of alluding to. The one size fits all approach does not work. But from a prompt perspective, I think center screen, at least all the A/B tests that we've seen and run, does show a higher engagement rate. Now, again, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to address in this is that lead capture really exists on a spectrum. You can, in a simplified way, you can show a pop-up earlier in the experience, get a really high number of impressions and a lower mm-hmm. engagement rate. Or you can push it back or you can push it into a banner or into a corner flyout and get perhaps a lower number of impressions, but a higher engagement rate. So There is very much a spectrum that should be considered, I think, when you talk about, should I use a flyout? Should I use a banner? Should I use a center screen? We think overall, from our vantage point, center screen still works the best. And we're focused now on getting our partners and brands to just implement the center screen the right way. Or if they want to do a banner, totally fine. There's certainly a lot of digital native direct-to-consumer brands, thinking like Brooklinen, Away Travel, a lot of those brands typically will put it in the banner. And then we work with other brands that just, they have a Just You Know CTA that when it's clicked, it triggers the pop-up. And that exists in their footer, or of course, there's the classic tab or floating widget option. There's all of those. It's just evaluate where you think you fit on that spectrum.
Got it. So how many lead capture campaigns, you know, we're saying it's not one size fits all. So is it two? Is it three? Like, what's a good place to start?
I think if you're interested in getting out of the one size fits all approach, if you're at this time where you're like, okay, I have the evergreen one size fits all, and now I feel like I should change it, start with segmenting between paid and organic and direct traffic. So like one pop-up for organic and direct, and one pop-up for all paid traffic. If there's a UTM parameter or a GCLID or an FBCLID on it, put those all together in that different offer and segment that way. So I would start there. And we've gone all the way to where usually this is working. If you're a brand working through an agency, you probably request this sort of setup, but they can get down to the UTM campaign level if you want. And you can get down to that level. So in terms of, we're just talking about list growth and lead capture pop-ups, that can be as little as two or as many as offsite campaigns as you're running. Usually people don't go, I don't think, to that depth, but if you're personalizing pop-ups and you're doing like non-branded, you're targeting people that are coming from a specific non-branded search campaign, for instance, you can also personalize those and have like two to three pop-ups for your paid traffic, one pop-up for your organic and direct. So I'd say at minimum, try to get to two segmented by paid and organic.
Yeah, and two, that sounds like a good start because you should get better results by segmenting to those, like, you know, trying different tactics in those areas.
Yeah. And even if you don't, of course, I would also recommend A-B testing, which could be next on the to-do list. Mm-hmm. But you can A-B test those. You can A-B test the giveaway versus the discount and see what levers that really kind of pulls. Start with the two, then move on to list A-B testing and kind of expand from there. And whether you're using Just You Know or not, talk to your account manager at whatever company or whatever agency you're using and see what they think, because we're sharing content all the time between agencies and partners and other brands. And we're learning from other competitors in our space. Like, we're all kind of just in this mode of information share.
I think where list growth has gotten really exciting is now that there are multiple channels for list growth. So for a long time, the pop-up was synonymous with email address. And now we're hearing a lot of buzz about SMS results and Facebook Messenger and setting up those lists. You know, so what are you seeing on your end in terms of retailers that are getting involved in these newer channels to create lists?
So first of all, we prioritize building out API integrations with the top SMS providers and Facebook Messenger providers, as well as our plethora of email service provider integrations. So we've prioritized that to give people the option to do that, at least in our platform.
Right.
What we're seeing is millennial focused brands typically will move to an SMS and email capture. So they'll make, you know, I've seen this in a few different examples that surprised me that they worked so well, but they were requiring the phone number and the email. And I also see that with mobile devices, when you're creating your lead capture for mobile devices, kind of putting the SMS foot forward is a really great tactic. And it's undeniable the success that SMS has had. And I think that, you know, I've spoken to plenty of brands that say we market to a demographic that is not on their phones all the time, or they're a little bit more averse to marketing from their phones as opposed to checking their email. So I think with a lot of brands, we're seeing SMS coming in pretty hot. And Facebook Messenger being paired really well with email because it's just a checkbox and it's a very easy integration to set up. So we're seeing that a lot. And then the one click to SMS movement that you're seeing with a lot of the SMS providers. We also have that as a function that can just, you just plug in your short code for your SMS marketing and a pre-populated text. That works great for mobile. And so again, it's really based on what the audience is, millennial focused, they're much more adept at SMS marketing, a little bit older demographic, email and Facebook Messenger. There are people that are marketing to the baby boomer group. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a lot of success on Facebook Messenger and Facebook marketing. That's a sort of a newer channel for that demographic, but they'll have the most success with email. You know, I don't think email is going anywhere personally. And so I think email will always be there. I think it's going to be an integral part of people's marketing strategies and their marketing stack, but it's undeniable the success that SMS and Facebook Messenger.
I know. It's like poor email. Email gets trash talked all the time and it still keeps going. It's the Energizer Bunny. It has been, I think it is with, you know, with all this stuff, it's not, we all get caught in this trap of like trying to pick our favorites. And the reality is that like, is different types of users are going to have different preferences. So some people open up email, some people open up SMS, and some people do Messenger, you know, for the dialogue driven aspects of it. So it's just good to give people options so that they can, you know, it's my favorite channel doesn't have to be everyone's favorite channel. Or do you see on the pop-ups, like with the creative, are people trying to do both email and SMS in one fell swoop, or are they doing SMS only or Messenger only? What are you seeing?
On desktop devices, we're seeing a lot of the email and SMS, both. Mm-hmm. And on mobile, we're seeing a lot of the SMS first, or getting a lot of questions about that, I should say. But right. I think kind of going back to it, email being such a warrior, that needs to be in place first. If you're not really confident in your email marketing strategy, you need to get that dialed in first and foremost before you dive into the trends and what's happening with those. And so if we're talking about direct-to-consumer brands that are maybe digital native brands, seeing a lot of success with SMS on mobile. And what I'd like to see, my hope for the near future, are forms and pop-up forms and pop-up captures. And it can be any of them. It could be dynamic, like 5,000 people say see the same pop-up with three options, but 20% of them sign up for Facebook Messenger, 40% sign up for email, another 40% sign up for SMS. That's something that I'm hoping for in the near future and something that we're working on our end.
Yeah. And I think the whole thing is just that list growth is not, I think we're both totally agreed on email and how powerful it is, but just that now there's new lists that have come and are important, like SMS. Because brands, I think the key really is with it, I think with any brand, it's like you have to, it requires multiple touch points anyway to get sales. So it's a lot easier if someone wants to hear from you and they sign up for email and SMS, then they're more interested and it's more likely that you can close the sales, you know, just from having those channels open. Because there is pretty irrefutable evidence that customers that sign up to multiple properties of a brand are going to convert at a higher rate. So
I think we're going to see, talk to a few email marketing agencies that are thinking that we're going to see the monetization of your inbox in the near future. So that'll be something to look out for too. But I think on to end with this note, I've seen brands and I've worked personally with brands that A/B and multivariate tested different, like email versus email plus SMS versus email plus SMS plus Facebook Messenger versus just SMS versus just Facebook Messenger, full multivariate test. I wouldn't go that many layers.
Okay. But they've tested the options, right?
Tested the options. And still the email and SMS combo was a really strong performer. But I think the wrong way to do it and what I would avoid at all costs is showing three separate pop-ups, one with email, one with SMS, and one with Facebook Messenger, and especially in the same session, because that's the type of shit that makes people hate pop-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed. All right, so let's hop to the conversion optimization aspects, because I think it seems like with pop-ups, like it became first known because the email sign-up modal was so popular, even go back to like 2010 and earlier. But I think with on-site messaging, it's like you got to prod people along. And that's where conversion optimization comes in, which is because so many people come to a website. I mean, it's not uncommon for me to hear about websites that have 1% conversion rate. So 99 out of 100 people left. So they weren't finding what they were looking for. So what do they need to see that's going to get them to the product page, get them to checkout? So for on-site conversion optimization, what are some simple campaigns that a brand could implement that's going to help them to convert better?
Okay. So number one, someone who is exiting or returning to the site that has left items in their cart, that is low hanging fruit to me. And those could be two separate pop-ups. They could be the same one. But for example, what I have on my own Shopify store is I have an exit offer that targets anybody who is leaving with anything in their cart. And it has a CTA that just says, hey, you left bestsellers in your cart. Click this button to get to auto apply a 15% coupon code. Mm-hmm. And so that button just has a Shopify discount URL that it links to, takes them back to the cart with the promo code embedded already in the promo code page. So it's like,
right, so you don't have to add it, right?
Two clicks to finish the transaction. It's a high intent group. They have items in their cart, especially if they're returning to your site with items in their cart. If they're returning to the site with items in their cart, forget getting their email. Forget it. Don't even try it because they are much, much more likely to convert into a sale, at which point you'll get their email anyway. So I would say number one, either exiting or returning with items in your cart. Number two, retargeting campaigns. So offsite retargeting, let's take Facebook as an example. You show a retargeted post to someone who was on your site, showing them an item that they were looking at, and you're saying, hey, get 10% off now. And I would say for the segment of those visitors that actually click back to the site and they're returning again, show a banner that says, hey, don't forget your 20% coupon code. Enter coupon code here, and then drop in a countdown timer that says this offer is good for the next 24 hours. So you press urgency on the sale. And that's easy. It's a banner. It's not intrusive. It's not asking them to do anything. It's reinforcing the offsite campaign. So you'll see, and again, increased efficiency of your ad spend there, of your retargeting spend. You'll see reduced customer acquisition costs. And then third is a similar thing, but any email, any triggered email, like a welcome series email or a cart abandonment email, target them when they get back to the site. Reinforce the message. If it's a welcome series email that you gave them a coupon code in that says, hey, we're just so glad you signed up. Here's 10% off. Don't forget this code. And they click through, you're probably utilizing tracking URLs for that. So target that UTM campaign and say, hey, don't forget your 10% coupon code. You got 24 hours to use it. And so that would be, I mean, I guess you could put that in the same boat as the retargeting campaigns. They're very easy to set up. They require zero integration with any APIs at all. It's just a simple banner. Justino, and I'm sure many others have it, the functionality out of the box. And so if I could offer another one up that's a little bit different, I would say target anybody abandoning the cart with that same discount offer or with a gift with purchase.
Yeah, I like gift with purchase too, because that's another way to spin it where, again, it's like, I'm sure you got something that's not selling well. So you can, or you have some inventory that could be wrapped into a gift with purchase that makes it more tempting.
Yeah.
I like also what you were mentioning about countdown timers and like with discounts too. Like, I like the idea of discounts, like the countdown timer, you're going to see it all the time during the holidays. So as we get further and further into the second half of the year, but just how it brings that urgency. Like, whenever you're giving a discount, it's good to have a limited time. Because if it's not, then people think they can just come back and get it anytime. Like sometimes that happens with email signups too. And it's good to test the ground, you know, test the waters a little bit with a limited time discount that is done. And I mean, the countdown timer makes it more dramatic.
Right.
Actually, I saw, so Shopify is doing their annual conference and they're doing it virtually.
Now the reunite.
The reunite. And what did they use? A countdown timer until it happens. So it's a very effective tactic.
Yeah. And I think too, it's, you can get cute with the copy too and say like, this message will self-destruct in.
Yeah.
If it's a flash sale, for instance, you can do like the 20 minute timer presses urgency even more. I think that that's a little bit too short, but I think 24 to 48 hours is a good spot to live in for that.
For conversion optimization, is do product recommendations, or, you know, like if you could get into, I know with Just So You Know that you've released a lot of features in the past year, some with product recommendation, some with artificial intelligence. So is, how does that tie in with the conversion optimization suite?
So what that allows you to do, I think, is it takes a lot of time and effort out of the marketing team's hands to be manually creating these upsell and cross-sell opportunities, which is sort of like becoming the next pillar of Just So You Know's offering, is increasing AOV, upselling and cross-selling, utilizing product recommendations. And so what we've done is we've offered this product recommendation layer, and this, it's dynamic. It pulls in your product feed and your order data and dynamically recommends products. And we have five different algorithms that people can choose from. So you could have one product recommendation in line in your PDP that is showing things that are often bought with this item, right? So that's a cross sell, or more expensive items, that's an upsell. You can also do generally most viewed, generally most purchased. And then the final one that we've added is what that user previously viewed. So reminding them what they had last looked at. And the last piece that I think makes our recommendation engine special is that you don't just have to put it below the fold in the PDP. You can drop it, and I don't see enough people do this. You can place the product recommendation like in a banner that slides up from the bottom as soon as someone adds to cart. So the add to cart action happens.
So on the product page, you could see at the bottom the recommendations that are set up through these algorithms.
It brings it above the fold.
Yes.
So that's something I don't see often. And so we have the dynamic product recommendations that have multiple display options, so in design options, and that you mix that with our sort of highly sophisticated targeting suite, and you can get more out of your product recommendations.
Yeah, and product recommendations, this is giving me some flashbacks, because, I mean, first off, it's Amazon's original strategy. That's how everyone got into product recommendations, because Amazon had so much success. I remember even 10 years ago working with a company that cost $90,000 a year to provide product recommendations. So it's, and what you're talking about, where you can set up these cluster products by not the way that you see them as the owner of the business, but how shoppers see them. Because how shoppers group them together, exactly what Amazon does. And I think sometimes it's hard for people that are more visually oriented, like sometimes with higher fashion brands, like they'll have nightmares about two products showing up in this like together, but it's an outlier example in a way, because oftentimes the brand does not see these clusters that an AI is going to find that just increases the average order size. And like says, oh, this is the product I want. I'm going to add $50 more to my cart. And just through an inline element that, you know, a provider like Just So You Know does.
I mean, yeah, what I take away from this too is that what you're telling me is that we're not charging enough for our product record.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe not. Thoughts for next year. But in e-commerce, there are a lot of enterprise services that have specialty in product recommendations. But it's also because there was so much value in it, because it, seeing the product allowed people to, they ended up purchasing it just from seeing that placement.
Yeah. Somebody will find value in that. So I think that's what you're going for. You're not thinking that you're going to set up and then everybody's going to check out with $50 to $100 more than they did, but some people will, especially if they're buying a gift. You know, we got Mother's Day coming up. Maybe you have a mom and a grandmother that you're buying a gift for. Maybe you're buying a gift for your wife because, you know, she's the mother of your child, or your sister's a mom. You know, you're buying multiple gifts, and maybe that makes sense, you know. And we also offer filters. So you choose an algorithm of what products will be shown, and then you can actually filter those based on like a Shopify tag or Magento tag or a category. Or if you're a retailer, you can show certain brands. You can force include items.
Okay, so if you know the creative director is going to lose their mind if one product shows up in those recommendations, you can exclude that product and make sure it never sees the light of day.
Exactly. I think the biggest benefit is that this allows you to set it and forget it with your product recommendations, because it'll always be different, you know, depending on the product you add to cart or look at. And it just is like a nice, easy, get it in and get it done and move on to the next thing and let it generate AOV for you.
Gotcha. Okay. So are there any other features of conversion optimization that we have not covered?
Two. So there's like a manual upsell and cross-sell option as well. And I think this is really great for brands that have products with very few variants. Mm-hmm. Or if you're doing the gift with purchase, for instance, and you want to add this gift to the cart, and you're not going to use an AI-driven product recommendation engine to do that, but you do have this one item, that's a really great tool to increase conversions or increase AOV. And so that can be done in a more manual way. And you can set up a few. I'm thinking of a client specifically in the makeup industry that set up 7 or 8 of these manual ones within Just You Know, and then basically said, if show this to someone if they add this item to the cart and if they have not clicked any other Just You Know CTA in this session. So what does that do? That keeps each upsell and cross sell in its own lane because there are CTAs to add to cart. So that's one thing that you can do. It's very low barrier to entry. I think, you know, you drop in the variant ID in the.
So that CTA is going to show up on the product, the upsell, however you place it, right?
However you place it in the display. I think in my own experience, I've done it as a flyout with like an image of the product and say, hey, you know, bundle this with that and the great summer look or whatever. And it's got the CTA right below it that says like, hook me up or something like that. So that's one really great strategy that's really kind of easy to set up. And then the other, also pretty easy to set up, is a dynamic free shipping threshold. So you'll see a lot of sites, free shipping constantly cited as one of the number one reasons why people abandon their carts. Like it's been true for almost a half a decade. And so you might see a site that says, get free shipping when you order $50 or more. And that's not dynamic. It's helpful, but it's not dynamic. And also, what if you have different free shipping qualifications when you're shipping from the US versus the UK or Europe or Australia or something like that? You want those things to be dynamic. So one thing I would say is you can ingest, you know, it's a little bit, you have to utilize some bracket, very minor, light cart variables, but you can push those into your banners and say, hey, you're only $22 away from free shipping. And that number, as people have more in their cart, that just gets a little bit easier to attain. Like, oh, what's $15 more, right? What's $20 more? And you can target that to specifically only show in the US for like a $50 threshold and then create a duplicate. And let's say it's $100 for international shipping. So, and then the international group, they'll see something that's $100 minus whatever their cart total is. So it'll say you're $72 away from free shipping. So those are a couple of examples. And we're seeing new things every day, especially from our professional services clients and our white glove service. They come in with crazy ideas. We A/B test them and we find out which ones work. And actually on that note, I would say speaking generally about conversion rate optimization, when you're running A/B tests, you can do this within Just You Know, and I'm sure you can do it in a lot of platforms. You can test against a control group, which is a holdout audience, which means they're not seeing anything at all in the same audience of people that see whatever the other variant is. So I think that's a really key component because you can see what the customer journey and flow looks like in terms of revenue and conversions from a group that sees nothing at all.
It's like the same way you test a vaccine, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. What a... That's a very timely
but it is kind of, you know, I think the control group is really important because you always want to know that what you're doing is working. And the only way you can do it is by running it against what if you did nothing versus what if you did something. Yeah. So it just gets beyond the, because I think it's hard sometimes, even for marketing teams, that everyone has bias towards the things that they create. And the part of being data driven is to get it to where like the data is proving the hypothesis that you put together, and it's the pride is not in the way of it. So that's what's nice about having the control group. If you can clearly see this campaign worked because I tried it against 25% of the people that didn't, and I'm seeing more results from the, you know, from the people who saw this message.
Yeah, I think it's such a key thing. And it's something that we're trying to include in a lot of our case studies too, because there's a lot of case studies that come out, they're showing the highlight reel kind of, right? And so my personal, one of the things that I do with a lot of our partners in terms of education, everything is really getting a very clear view of your data and analytics. And one of the best ways to do that is to test with a control group.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, so wrapping things up, got some really good nuggets on list growth and conversion optimization. Glad we got to go through all this. You know, so if people are interested in the list growth opportunities and conversion optimization with JustUno, where do they go next?
If they're interested and they're not using JustUno, it's a one-click install app for Shopify, Magento, BigCommerce, WordPress, and I believe a few others. So that will get you into the account. You can start. We have pre-built promotions that contain our sort of like best practice designs as well as targeting rules. So basically all you do is plug in a coupon code, plug in your email service provider or SMS or whatever it is, and you're out the door. You can create it within 5 minutes and launch. If you're in other opportunities or services or strategic coaching or anything like that, please reach out to you can reach out to our support. You can contact me directly, robbie@justuno.com. I can forward you to the right people to talk to, and we're here to help. And we have varying levels of service and a knowledge base and things to get away quickly on their own.
Yeah, I've talked to many JustUno service reps, and I can definitely vouch for they really try to solve your problems. I've seen it. It's great when you talk to customer service and you know they're not just passing you a link to a help page, that they're actively hearing you.
We're people, you know, like we understand well enough being on the other end of it, being consumers sometimes, or we're big consumers of other software, but we try to learn from that too. So we try to bring the human element.
Excellent. Great to have you on. Thanks for coming on the show, Rob.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
This episode is sponsored by Needle Movement. Before you go, gotta mention something new. Right now we're seeing a huge shift towards conversation marketing channels, SMS, Facebook Messenger, and email marketing. Just think about it. Couldn't your upcoming Black Friday numbers double if SMS and Messenger were enabled? And you said that email is the only channel to push a product drop, announce a sale, or have an abandoned cart campaign. Needle Movement provides a done-for-you service to help e-commerce brands unlock 6 to 7 figures of new revenue from their customer base. We'll back that up with an ROI guarantee. Now's the time to get in. As conversation marketing is poised for growth. Today it's Facebook Messenger. We already know that Google, WhatsApp, and Instagram are getting into this space soon. Learn more about conversation marketing by visiting needlemovement.com. You can book a call today on the site and we'll estimate the additional revenue opportunity for your brand. Last but not least, be sure to tune in next week for another new episode of the podcast.